Hello, this is Lori Richards with this week's edition of the Harrison Press. Our first story, Southwest addresses highs and lows at State of the Schools by Sydney Murray. Moving forward, the Southwest Local School District is celebrating achievements, but also looking at challenges, including an enrollment that is now the largest it has been in history. More students mean more costs, said Southwest Treasurer Thomas Lowe, who spoke about the district's financial situation at the State of the Schools Wednesday, August 7th. Lowe said the addition of revenue from Texas Gas has had a huge impact on the district's five-year forecast. Texas Gas, an interstate natural gas pipeline company, built a new compressor station in Crosby Township as part of the company's Northern Supply Access Project. Lowe also said he believes the new school building the district will be moving into in 2021 will be more efficient and lead to operational cost savings. The district has also seen new construction tax growth Lowe, however, also predicts that in about 2023, the district's expenses will far outside the revenues. He said income tax growth has slowed and a major source of revenue is very flat. Overall, though, Lowe said it can be difficult to be accurate further out than 2 years. In academics, Assistant Superintendent Corinne Hayes said the district has had new curriculum adoption materials for English language arts and math that are better aligned with Ohio's learning standards. Teachers have also been working over the summer with their instructional design in English for grades K-12 and in math for grades K-10. Hayes spoke about parent survey results and said, she reads every response that comes through because the voices of the parents are very important. The survey helps drive district plans. According to the survey, parents believe the district does well with overall communication, curriculum offerings, teacher quality, and having a welcoming school environment. Parents also said the district needs to improve in security, addressing bullying, homework expectations, and gifted education. For safety, the district wants to continue social media fencing and increase the school's resource officer presence over the next few years. Superintendent John Hamstra said they met with local first responders to go over school safety plans for each building. But the district also took time to focus on the positives from the last year. For a third consecutive year, the district in Miami-Town Elementary received a State Momentum Award, which recognizes schools for exceeding expectations in student and academic growth for 1 year. Only 28 of 610 school districts have earned this award for three consecutive years. Crosby, Harrison, and Whitewater Valley Elementary Schools also each earned an overall A award in 2018 for earning a summative grade of A on the 2018 state report card, and Miami-Town was also named a 2018 High Progress School of Honor Award winner. The high school has also added new industry credentialing options for this school year. At the end of last year, students filled out surveys and they will be placed in homerooms with teacher mentors based on their post-secondary plans. The district is also working with Harrison's Workforce Development Committee to create internship and apprenticeship opportunities for students. The district has a goal of not only 100% of students graduating, but that all of these students also have a concrete path forward. Another goal is to have 100% of students from kindergarten to 12th grades involved in extracurricular activities. Hayes said another thing they are proud of is that they instill in students the need to be good stewards in the community and promoting a service mindset. Last year, was the first ever day of service on which students participated in service projects. Another one has been scheduled for September 14th. The district also released the preliminary boundaries for three elementary schools for the 2021 to 2022 school year. But these boundaries are not final yet, but close. The three elementary schools beginning that year will be Crosby and Harrison Elementary Schools, as well as a new Central Elementary School. The groundbreaking ceremony for the new schools is August 23rd. And our next story. Younger Kids Get Their Turn at Robotics by Sydney Murray. Harrison High School and Harrison Junior School students have the chance to participate in robotics activities, but engineering teacher Angela Elsasser wanted to do something to get even younger kids involved. For a second year, the students entering 4th, 5th, and 6th grades had the opportunity to participate in a 5-day robotics summer camp at the high school. More than 30 kids signed up for this year's camp, and for many, it was their first time. On teams, campers learned to build and wire a VEX or VEX clawbot, which comes in a kit with materials and instructions. Campers become familiar with the hardware that makes up the robot. "We are really trying to teach them foundational skills," says Elsasser. They also learn how to write code, to control the robot with a wireless joystick. On the final day of camp, teams participated in a double elimination tournament, which they worked to stack cones and maneuver their robots. Winners received medallions. Throughout the week, campers also watched videos and had discussions surrounding topics such as the history of robots and up-and-coming technology. "I wanted to learn something about robotics and coding," said 6th grader Grant Myvers. Fellow 6th grader Elliot Steinman said coding was his favorite part of camp, but this wasn't necessarily the case for everyone. Elsasser said students can get frustrated with coding, but she wants them to learn it's okay to make mistakes. She hopes they leave camp with a good idea of what code looks like. "It's important to teach kids that problem solving can be fun and exciting, and even if they don't grow up to be engineers, they can walk away with skills that will make their lives better." Campers also had the chance to interact with older students involved with robotics. 8th grader Trent Hoop was one of the mentors. He said he's always been fascinated by computers and technology. He has been involved with robotics while in junior high. "The summer camp is a great way for kids to get started," said Elsasser, adding that it's important that kids learn at a young age whether they might be interested in robotics and engineering. "Robots are everywhere, and there isn't a field out there that doesn't use robotics in some way," she said. "You don't know you like it till you try it," says Elsasser. And then there is a photograph taken in the school gym where there are three children. One is on outside the designated area looking in. One is using controls, and the other one seems to be guiding the robot. And the caption reads, "For a second year, students entering 4th, 5th, and 6th grades had the opportunity to participate in a 5-day robotics summer camp at the high school. They learned how to write code to control the robot with a wireless joystick." 1860 Tap Room Pouring Tasty Suds by Sydney Murray. 1860 Tap Room and Bottle Shop, serving up both local and national craft beers, is now open in downtown Harrison. Co-owner Robert Watson said he and a group would often get together to share beers, and they thought it would be great to have a place in Harrison. The tap room features 16 beer taps, as well as 20 to 30 types of bottled and canned beer. Customers can purchase packaged beer to take with them. "We really are supporting a lot of the local Cincinnati beers," said Watson. He said they want to try to bring beers to Harrison that people maybe haven't seen or tasted before, and said customers already have a wide variety. The tap room also is hooked up with the Digital Pour app. Visitors to the app can see what beers are on tap, the price, how much is left in the keg, as well as what beers are on tap in the future. DJ Zhang, who works at the tap room, and jumped on board when he saw the business's potential. As a craft beer drinker, he said he's excited to see the business grow. They hope to draw beer nerds, but also anyone who wants to come. Watson said he hopes the taproom can be a relaxed environment. Kelly Gully visited the taproom on one of its first days open. Originally from Cincinnati, Gully was in town visiting from Evansville. She said she and her husband love to go to breweries and try beers, and she is happy to see the tap room in Harrison. She liked the beers she tried that day and is excited that the beers will be rotated regularly. I like the atmosphere, said Gully. For those who don't enjoy beer, the tap room sells wine and bourbon. They also sell Tuba Baking Company soft pretzels and Olivia's beer cheese, and customers can bring in food, said Watson. They hope to start organizing events which could include local restaurants bringing in food to sell, he added. The space also features televisions, merchandise, and a small outdoor courtyard still in progress. Watson is one of five owners, all of whom are from Greater Harrison. The tap room is open 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, noon to midnight Friday and Saturday, and noon to 10 p.m. on Sunday. He wants the tap room to be another piece of the mosaic in the downtown district scene, said Watson. And now, Athlete of the Week. Harrison High School girls golfer Kennedy Ashley is the Harrison Press Athlete of the Week. On August 6, she shot a 44 at Circling Hills Golf Course. Coach Brian Carr said the 192 team score was Harrison's best in a home opening day match at Circling Hills. And Athlete of the Week is sponsored by Village Pharmacy at 367-4836 at 114 Harrison Avenue in downtown Harrison. And our next story is a large photo. Around Town Sounds band members of Final Order interacted with the audience during Music on the Avenue on Saturday, August 3rd, in downtown Harrison. The event, which also featured bands 90 Proof Twang and Miss Jackie, was sponsored by the District, Harrison Recreation Commission, and FCN Bank. Jamison Road reopens after bridge repair. Jamison Road is now open. Jamison Road, which connects Harrison and Bright, was closed from March until last week to replace a nearby bridge. Motorists used North Dearborn Road as an alternate route during construction, replacing the bridge about 1.4 miles east of Bright at the Los Camp Road intersection was awarded to the Paul H. Rohe Company. The bridge was raised and replaced, and adjoining roadways were also upgraded. Work included clearing, grubbing, earth excavation, grading, driveway restoration, asphalt, geotextiles, installation of various size culverts, roadside ditching, and cast-in-place concrete, according to the engineers. Meanwhile, the right lane on eastbound US 50 at Front Street in Lawrenceburg has been temporarily reopened. The lane was closed last week due to a depression that formed at the surface of the road, possibly because of a pipe failure under the roadway. The depression has been capped with a steel plate until necessary repairs can be completed. Meanwhile, construction work continues on US 50 this week as chip seal begins on Indiana 350. Dave O'Mara Contractor Incorporated will continue asphalt resurface work along US 50 from Indiana 350 to Indiana 1. Signal and traffic markings activities will also take place along the route. This past weekend, night crews applied joint sealant on longitudinal joints between driving lanes in both east and westbound directions on US 50. On Sunday and Monday, night's paving crews began approach paving along US 50. Signal housing work is scheduled to begin Tuesday, August 13th on side streets at signalized intersections along US 50. Work is scheduled to take place during daytime hours for the next few weeks. Minor to moderate traffic impacts are expected at these locations. Crews are expected to begin traffic marking operations on Thursday, August 15th with the application of ghost lines and pavement grooves along US 50. It is anticipated that the application of permanent pavement markings will begin Monday, August 19th. All drivers are urged to slow down and use caution throughout the work zone on US 50. The entire project is expected to be complete by late October. All work is weather dependent. Indiana Department of Transportation maintenance crews will begin chip seal preservation of a 2.5 mile section of old Indiana 350 in Dearborn County and two 10 mile sections of Indiana 350 in Dearborn and Ripley counties Tuesday, August 13th, weather permitting. And now to looking back. 1969, woman barely escapes death when bullet grazes her chest. And we're going to start with 1 year ago, August 8th, 2019. Pet Nation Lodge in Loveland has opened its new splash pool, an above-ground pool designed specifically for canine use. Dogs get a running start before launching themselves airborne thanks to a 45-foot-long dock. Darlene and John Knapp of Harrison have flat-coated retrievers, Archer, Dragon, and Nitro. Archer holds the master dog title and has jumped 20 feet 10 inches. The Knapps have been active in the dog diving scene for more than 10 years and are excited to have a dog diving facility closer to home. 50 years ago, August 14, 1969, Bud Johnson received the President's Award for his untiring dedication to the Little League ball teams during the season. Carl Radenheimer made the presentation. Sherry Lynn Hensley, age 6, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Larry Hensley of Johnson Fork Road, narrowly escaped death when a bullet grazed her chest at the home of her grandparents on Johnson Fork Road. Possibly, the gun wielders in the area could use more care when hunting or using a gun or rifle for any reason. Friday, August 15th is the day that head coach Ken Conitzer and his staff have been waiting for. That is the day that the Wildcats will begin to practice in earnest for the upcoming football season. That opens up September 5th at Brookville. 60 years ago, August 13th, 1959, John Newhouse took over the Biddle Building Materials on Harrison Avenue. Jerry Hobbs of Fort Knox is spending a couple of weeks with his parents, Mr. and Mrs. Nat Hobbs and Sandy, before being transferred to another Army base. Little Mark McCain, 3-year-old son of Mr. and Mrs. Edwin McCain, is getting along just fine at his home. He was severely cut on both legs in a power lawn mower accident in July. 70 years ago, August 11, 1949, the family of Dolores Bittinger report her condition as improving as she is able to sit up a little each day. Miss Jessie Small tripped and fell over a radio cord in her apartment and is finding it quite difficult to get around as she strained ligaments in her leg and is suffering considerable. Eugene Dorr, age 14 years, of Shandon, a victim of polio, died Tuesday evening after a few days' illness. Joyce June Kepler was also stricken with polio a week ago. She also passed away. Mrs. Frank Scholey was hostess in her cool camp on the Little Miami River at Newtown. Her guests were members of her bridge club. 120 years ago, August 11, 1899, T.A. Williams worked Oxford Merchants for $57.50 and uttered a bad draft for $25 at Harrison, Ohio, where he is traveling under the name of Peterson or Pearson. The well-dressed man put in his appearance in Harrison and registered as O.B. Pearson. He procured some goods at Dorman's General Store to the amount of $2, tendering in payment a check of $12, receiving the balance in change. The check was made out on an Oxford bank, but when presented at the Citizens Bank in Harrison, payment was refused. Word was received that no such person as Pearson had an account there, and for the Harrison authorities to arrest him, as he had turned in a similar trick in Oxford. Pearson escaped and is now numbered among the missing. Mrs. John Loftus of Lawrenceburg, wife of John Loftus in Lawrenceburg, jail for alleged stealing and attempted murder. Mrs. Loftus said she has consulted a medium who told her where every stolen article is hidden. She says she has found everything to be true that the medium told her. And all of this was researched and written by Jenny Awad, who is a member of the Harrison Historical Society. Community Matters. Exciting times in Harrison as new businesses ramp up. There are many exciting things happening in Harrison. Here's the official activity report from our Economic Development Department. 1860 Taproom and Bottle Shop opened at 102 Harrison Avenue. They offer a nice selection of craft beer, wine, and bourbon. They are still working on their light food menu. Stop in and check them out. Construction continues inside Heist & Company, a wine and beer bistro at 108 Harrison Avenue. Owner Geraldine Job said they plan to open this fall with tapas, small plates, and a wide selection of beverages. Another new restaurant called Harrison Drink and Feed at 301 Harrison Avenue is coming later this year. This will be a family-style restaurant. Two luxury apartments are being built on the second floor. Mitch Job is renovating the building at 419 Harrison Avenue for West Oak and Iron, a handcrafted custom wood furniture store and workshop, which will be located on the first floor. He and his family will live on the second and third floors. Mike Runk is redeveloping the old B&A Sports Bar at Park and State Street, and is also renovating the adjacent former drive-through and laundromat. The drive-through and laundromat should be open by October. The restaurant is aiming for an early 2020 opening. Kathy Dietz has opened Dietz Custom Design at 138 Harrison Avenue, which specializes in interior custom design and space planning. They also have home retail items in the store. Be sure to stop in and check out this store. Three restaurants are looking at their location options along New Haven Road. Two are national chains and one is a regional chain. No leases have been signed at this point. A developer is planning to prepare an industrial site for a 200,000-plus square footage building near CTS on Progress Way. When complete, it could employ several hundred people within multiple companies. An assisted living company has submitted plans for review of a facility on Progress Way near the Cronin Kia facility. The facility will have 119 beds for varying levels of care. The facility will employ more than 120 healthcare providers and facility personnel. The city is working with owners of shopping centers throughout Harrison to clean up their properties along Harrison Avenue and New Haven Road through stringent code enforcement. As always, feel free to contact me at cabrams@harrisonohio.gov or our economic developer, Shannon David Hammons, at shamons@harrisonohio.gov with any questions. And this was written by Harrison City Council member Cindy Abrams, who also serves as chair of the Harrison Recreation Commission and as chair of the Critical Economic Development Committee, where she works daily to bring business opportunities to the city. Cindy and her husband, Doug, live in Harrison with their two sons. And then we have two very cute photos of children going down. It looks like a water slide or some sort of blow-up slide structure. And it says, while they still can. And in the top picture are two young girls. And the bottom is a very smiley younger person. It says, as students prepare to go back to school, Church on Fire's highlighter event on Friday, August 2nd, provided them one more opportunity to play in the water. Along with water slides, face painting, and other fun activities, the event provided K-12 students with free school supplies and haircuts. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. This is Lori Richards, and this has been this week's edition of the Harrison Press. Everyone have a wonderful day.